Awesome. Well, again, happy Mother's Day. It is a great day to honor our mothers. The scripture says to honor your father and mother, and today we have a designated day to actually set aside to honor our mothers. And it's really cool that we get to do that, and I'm going to try to not get too emotional today. I really love my mom. It's good that she's not sitting in here. Otherwise, there'd be no hope for me getting through this with a dry eye. So as both, you know, talking about my wife and my mom and the incredible moms that I've had in my life, I get emotional because of their goodness. And the impact that a good mom can make is so, so immeasurable, so incredible. I've seen mothers, and especially mothers of faith. And when I think of a mom and faith, I think of them as synonyms. They are interchangeable. You can't think of a mom without thinking of faith in my mind, because I saw my mom and my grandmother and other women around. I was always around women of faith growing up, and I had that blessing to be around those great women. And so when I think of mom, I think of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." Can I just say that there are so many moms that are doing it, doing it well, and that are so pleasing to the Lord. Many times, moms are the harshest critics on themselves. They beat themselves up over what they do. Can I just say that the Lord is pleased if you're living a life of faith, if you're trusting in Him, if you are trusting even your kids into His hands, and you are looking to Jesus and looking to model Jesus to your kids. The Lord is pleased in that. The Lord is glorified in that. So today I wanted to look at three characters in the Bible and draw out three things that we can see in the faith of our mothers. And this study, I decided to title it "The Faith of Our Mothers." You know, sometimes we think of the faith of our fathers, but rarely do we talk about the faith of our mothers. And so I wanted to talk about three characters. And we're going to start with Jochebed. That name may not be familiar to you, but she's the mother of Moses. And so we see her story in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and I'll go ahead and read that to you guys. Exodus chapter 2, 1 through 10, it says, "And a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife as daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bushes for him." And I'm not sure if I spelled that correctly up there. I misspelled it here. "And dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it, and when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' And then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the maiden went and called the child's mother. And then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, 'I drew him out of the water.'" It's incredible here that Jochebed, Moses' mom, what was going on in this time was that Pharaoh had seen the Hebrews multiplying. They were creating children left and right. And he's thinking, this workforce that I have is going to soon outnumber us. And so he actually had decreed that all male children were to be thrown into the river. So all Hebrew children, by law, were to be thrown into the river and killed. And so Moses' mom, in faith, keeps this baby quiet. And then at 3 months, she's like, if they discover this child, they're going to kill this child. So I'm going to hatch this plan to send this child right to Pharaoh's daughter and see what she does. The faith that it took to send a Hebrew child right to let your child go down the river And even if she had this plan, like, hey, she's going to bathe right there and I'm going to send this baby right there, the faith to let the child go is incredible. The faith that that daughter of Pharaoh could have just looked at and said, no, let's execute this child. The faith that it took to let go of her child was incredible. But not only that, you see in her plan that her daughter was standing right there. And she goes, hey, Pharaoh's daughter, don't you need like maybe a nurse? I know of a woman. And it just so happens it's Moses' mom, the actual mom. So she hatches this whole plan. And then Moses' mom actually gets to nurse him in Pharaoh's house. And so the incredible thing is we see not only faith letting the child go down the river, she actually gets to nurse the child and then she has to let the child go again and hand him back over. As soon as he's weaned, she has to hand him back over. It's incredible that we see this, and we know that it took deep, deep faith to do this because she's actually, Jochebed is actually listed with the parents of Moses in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith. Hebrews 11, 23 says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. We see that her life and what she did with her son was by faith because she was not afraid of what went on. By faith. Quite literally, the faith of Jochebed produced a man who would lead God's people out of bondage. Talk about an impact of a mother. It's like, what would have happened if she had not been obedient to the Lord, if she had not had faith to let her child go? The Lord had a plan for this child. The Lord actually wanted to use this child to liberate his people, an entire nation, out of bondage. And because she was faithful, he did so. And it brings us to our first point. It shows us that the faith of our mothers produces freedom. The faith of our mothers produces freedom. So if you're taking notes, write it down. I'm going to do three characters and three points that each one of them models. And we see this and we can even apply some of these things in our lives. The faith of our mothers produces freedom, like Jochebed. It actually literally, quite literally, liberated and created freedom for an entire nation of people because she was obedient and lived a life of faith. It created freedom for those people. Practically, the application for us, have you seen children who are raised in Christian homes, in homes of faith? They're more secure, they're more liberated, they're more free. I'll just tell you, I don't have the scientific data to back it up, but I will tell you from practical experience, the burdens that non-Christian kids carry into relationships, the burdens that kids raised by sinful mothers carry into relationships, they're not free. They're carrying baggage. They're in bondage. I've been around so many people who bring deep insecurity, deep wounds, and incredible trauma into relationships because of a mom that wasn't faithful, because of a mom that was messed up. And we see the exact opposite when a mom is a mom of faith, following the Lord. She actually provides a freedom to her kids to be who God's called them to be. They can actually go into relationships with a clean slate. Now, if they mess it up, they mess it up. But they don't carry in all this extra baggage from this mom who's dumped stuff on them their whole lives. And so we see this very practically in kids. Have you guys ever known anyone like that? I mean, I've known a lot of friends who were messed up, especially in high school and in my early adulthood. Friends that were totally messed up because either their mom or their dad had messed them up pretty good. And I've known plenty of people. In fact, that's more of the rule than the exception anymore, is that the parent lives so selfishly that there is no freedom. In fact, they'll spend years and years of their lives trying to get freedom through Jesus. And they're still dealing with emotional wounds and scars that they were laden with a non-faithful mom. It's really sad. But we see the opposite. Oh, but the child raised by a faithful mom. There's freedom in that. How many moms have had the great privilege of even providing real freedom in Christ? How many moms do you know who have actually led their child to the Lord in the home and provided real freedom to their kids? I know of a few that they've actually led their child to the Lord right there in the home, providing literal freedom to their children. How incredible is that? What a contrast we see in our world between freedom and the bondage that non-faithful women provided their kids. Next, we're going to look at Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we find her story in Luke chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And we read there, the angel speaking to her and says, "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great. He will be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?'" I've never known a man. "And the angel answered to her and said, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." I believe it was Mary's faith that was instrumental in why God chose her. The angel, even before that, says, "Blessed are you among women. Set apart are you among women. There's something exceptional about your life." And we see it in her response. Her response there in verse 38, she says, after hearing all this incredible stuff, knowing that she had never been with a man, and he says, "You're going to have a baby." And she's like, "You know what? Let it be exactly like you said. I'm up for it." I don't think we fully grasp what that meant, the connotation that it meant in that culture, that she, her whole life, would be considered a harlot. She had a baby out of wedlock. That she would be really ostracized in that culture because she had broken her engagement, as it were. Joseph actually had the right to dump her, to send her away, and technically even have her stoned to death, finding out she was pregnant. Yet in this moment, when she gets that news, she's totally fine with it. It's like, "You know what? If this is from the Lord, then I'm good with it. Whatever the Lord says, I'm up for it." We see her deep faith in just responding to the Lord that way. And it was instrumental in why God chose her to bring forth a Messiah. It's incredible. Her faith is so deep that she worships and magnifies the Lord. Actually, if you look in the verses after that, when she goes to visit her relative, Elizabeth, she actually worships. And can you imagine being in the situation where everything is up in the air? You don't know if your husband is going to dump you, or the person you're engaged to. You don't know if society is going to take you out and stone you. Your family may even disown you for having a child out of wedlock. And yet, she chooses to worship the Lord. And we see it later in that same chapter that there's a song of Mary. If you get a chance, read it in verse 46, where she just sings to the Lord. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." You can see her faith in the way she responds to adversity and the fact that she chooses to worship the Lord instead of, "Oh no, what's going to happen to me?" She chooses to turn the focus onto the Lord instead of herself. It's pretty incredible, and that brings us to our second point. The faith of our mothers produces heaven on earth. In Mary's case, quite literally, the King of Heaven comes to earth through Mary. This incredible woman of faith, God chooses her to bring forth the Messiah. Literally, heaven comes to earth. The King of Heaven comes to earth through a woman of faith. Isn't it amazing that God the Father thought so highly of motherhood that he gave his only begotten son to go through this, to be in the womb, to be born of a woman? God didn't just go, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to send the Savior this way," fully grown, fully ready to do ministry. He actually sent him as a baby, growing in the womb, being born, being nursed by Mary, this woman of faith. and actually sitting at the feet of his mom, learning scripture, learning Torah, learning these things, and this mom gets to pour into the Savior of the world, God incarnate. I mean, literally bringing heaven to earth. For us, the application I want to draw out to here is the world may be going crazy, but a mother's home that fears the Lord, there is refuge and safety. There's a little piece of heaven on earth. Have you ever been in a home that just felt so peaceful and so at ease? I would go into my grandma's home and feel like that. My grandma's home where the Lord was so thick in that home and there was so much joy in that home. We would eat and we would talk and there was just no thought of the outside world. And a mother of faith produces that environment. What do you think heaven's going to be like? I mean, what we read in scripture, banquets, I mean, I know it's beyond a lot of our imagination, but banquets, worship, love, security, joy. And I've had a glimpse of that in homes of godly women. When you walk in there and you hear worship playing, you smell good food, you're in there and there's just peace and there's joy and there's laughter. And it's like, wow, this woman of faith is bringing like a little slice of heaven right here. And as a woman of faith, it's something that you can do, and how you decide to live and how you set up your home. What do your kids know about unconditional love? What do your kids know about faithfulness and sacrifice and service? They see at home with mom. I know growing up for me, I saw Jesus in my mom. I saw my mom serving just left and right, serving, never wanting, just serving in humility, never wanting recognition, just serving in humility, serving us constantly. And I just saw Jesus in my mom. It's like she was washing our feet all the time. She's just serving our family. And yes, she needed help. And there were days where she did slam doors and do all those things and get frustrated because we didn't appreciate her. But now that I'm older, now that I've grown, I look back and I see, wow, my mom was modeling Jesus. She was modeling that King of Heaven on earth to us as kids. We saw it. We saw her, the softness, the gentleness in her answers, her patience with us when we were being knuckleheads. We saw those things. And a faithful mom, a mom full of faith, can produce that in the home. Lastly, we'll look at Lois. And Lois is found, actually, not a famous Bible character, but she's found in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Says, and when I call, and this is Paul talking to Timothy, a young pastor, says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is also in you. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you and through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Timothy's grandmother, Lois, had a genuine faith. She had it first, and she passed it to her daughter, Eunice, who then passed it down to Timothy. I left verse 7 in there because that passing down, it's like it's a good reminder that we want to leave a legacy of a sound-minded, fearless, living in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this came first from the grandmother to the mother to the son. And so his grandmother started a legacy that Timothy could live in. And this has been true in my life. Coincidentally, my grandmother Lois, same name, my grandmother Lois was the first person, we talked about this on Wednesday night, first person who really started following the Lord in my family, in my dad's side. She got saved. She got saved miraculously by the power of the Holy Spirit, having dreams that her kids were drowned. She couldn't help them. And the Lord just kept pointing her, hey, you need me, you need me. And actually, she opened up the Bible and came to Psalm 51 and started reading it and fell on her face and accepted the Lord. And so because she accepted the Lord, when my grandpa got back from the war, she drug him right to church. She's like, we're doing something different. We're not going to live the way we were living before you went off to war. We're going to live differently now. And because of that, my uncles got saved. They were raised in a Christian home. It changed the destiny of our entire family. I was raised in a Christian home because she first believed, and she chose to live differently. She set a legacy. She changed the way. And the same thing on a very similar story on Lydia's side of the family, that her grandmother actually got saved, started following the Lord, and it changed the course of her family. And there's a big difference between that side of the family and other parts of the family. But one of the great things that woman of faith started was the faith of our mothers produces a legacy, and it's the third point. That we see this in the scripture here, we see it in my life, and I'm sure others of you have seen it in your life, where the legacy passed down is so critical, so important. And if you haven't experienced that, you get to start that. If you haven't received that, you get to start it in your family. You get to pass that down. And it's an incredible thing to do for your kids. I have a few quotes here that are just kind of show the impact of a faithful mother, a mother who teaches their kids. Maybe some you'll recognize some influential names. The first one is a quote that says, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." And that's George Washington. It's like the first president of our country. Without him, our country wouldn't exist. And yet it was everything he attributed to his mom. Everything. Who he was. The second quote is, "I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England." And this is John Wesley. John Wesley, an incredible man who impacted the world for Jesus. But he says, "If it weren't for my mom, that wouldn't have happened. I learned more from her than I learned from all the other men who were teaching about the Bible. I learned it from my mom, first and foremost." And this is my favorite quote by Abraham Lincoln. And this one just gets me. It says, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." You're so rich. If you have a godly mother, you're so rich. So rich. There is nothing like having a mom who prays for you, a mom who contends for you, a mom who is gentle. There's nothing like it. And I just want to share with you guys kind of a personal story of how that applies in my life. When I was younger, I walked away from the Lord. And like many do in their teen years, even though I was raised in a Christian home, I decided to go do my own thing. And I wasn't walking with the Lord. And one thing that I do know is that my parents prayed consistently for me. They never stopped praying. No matter how malicious I was towards them, how mean I was to them, I would say awful things to my parents. I've said really awful things. And they never stopped. And it was because they decided that they were going to trust the Lord. But from my understanding, my mom, she sought the Lord and she just came before the Lord and said, "My boys, they're just living this lifestyle. They're in drugs, they're in all these other things." And she asked for a promise from God. She asked for a promise to hold on to in those dark times, and the Lord was faithful. The Lord saw her and said, "You know what? I'm going to give you a promise." From my mom's and dad's perspective, they must have seen like, "You're squandering this godly legacy. You were raised in this Christian home. Why are you living this way?" When I finally came back to the Lord, my mom shared the promise that she had held on to for years and years. The promise that the Lord had given to her. The Lord had actually given my mom a scripture. And in those dark moments where she didn't know how it would turn out for her sons, didn't know what we were involved in, she held on to this scripture. And the scripture is Hosea 14:4, and she shared it with me when I finally came back to the Lord. And Hosea 14:4 through 7, it says, "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. His branches shall spread. His beauty shall be like an olive tree and his fragrance like Lebanon. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return and they shall be revived like grain and grow like a vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. That was the promise that the Lord gave to my mom, that I would come back. That I would not only come back, but that there would be people who would listen to me when I came back. That there would be a time that the Lord would use me in my life. And that my mom could trust him. That my mom could trust him to bring me back from all the stuff that I had done, all the hatred that I had in my heart for God, all my hatred that I had for people, that the Lord could use that and he would actually sink those roots down deep. And then I would be able to minister to others. The legacy that my mom gave to us was incredible. I not only saw Jesus in my mom, but my mom contended for me. My mom contended in prayer daily for me. And you realize kind of when you're in the world and you're living and you're doing drugs and you're drinking and you're having fun, you realize that there's no one out there who loves you. There's no one who would even call you every day, let alone someone who would pray for you every single day, especially when you treat them like garbage. If you have a minor disagreement with a friend, they'll just leave you. But I basically spat in my mom and dad's face and they still prayed for me every single day. And I just didn't understand a love like that. I didn't understand that. I was like, where does that kind of love come from? And it comes from a faithful mom. It comes from a mom who's empowered by the Spirit. A mom who looks to Jesus and says, you know what? I don't care what he's saying. Even if he's saying these things right now, you gave me a promise and I'm going to believe it, Jesus. I'm going to look to you. Moms, this world needs more mothers of faith. It does. Look around at kids. Kids haven't changed. Kids are kids. Kids have not changed. We think that kids have changed. They're more rotten now than they used to be. They haven't changed. The parents have changed. The parents have changed. They're not raising their kids up. They're not seeing Christ in the home. They're not loving each other. They're not loving their kids. There's so many damaged kids that are bearing burdens. And I would just encourage you, moms, offer Jesus to your kids. Show them Jesus. Don't saddle them with emotional burdens that they're going to carry the rest of their lives. Give them the freedom of Jesus. Mothers who love Jesus in such a way that we actually get a glimpse of heaven in the home. There's peace in the home. Knowing that even if they walk away from the Lord, it's incredible. Even when I was away from the Lord, I would come back to my parents' home and there was peace there. There was quietness. And I'll tell you that when I got really involved in drugs and I needed to escape, I flew back home and my parents put me in a room and I actually got clean. There was peace there. I knew it was a refuge. I knew it was a safe place. You can create that in your home. Mothers who start or continue a godly legacy, which is pleasing to the Lord, that's what we need. Your contribution to the kingdom of God is invaluable. Something I want to say to moms, it's like sometimes moms get dumped on in this society. You're viewed as less than if you're just a mom, right? And even if you're a working mom, you feel guilty for not always doing the right things with this kid or that kid. And there's just so much that the world lays on you. Can I just encourage you? The Lord sees. The Lord is pleased. When you are serving the Lord, when you are showing your kids Jesus, the Lord is so satisfied and so pleased with that. But I'll share this with you too. Men search their whole lives for meaning and calling and purpose in lives. Moms don't have to search for that. It's right in front of you. You have a congregation, a built-in congregation. I have to invite people to talk to here. You have to show up for me to talk to you. A mom has a congregation. A mom has a following. A mom has influence. Built in, you can raise them up. You have a mission field. Men travel around the whole world looking for a mission field. And it's like, if you're a mom, you have a mission field right there. And that's not to negate the other things the Lord is calling you to, but that's the primary mission. The primary mission is the kids and letting them see Jesus. I'll close with this last couple verses. And if you're taking notes, I would write these down. They're going to go pretty quick. But these are verses that I know my wife has clung on to, that I hold on to. There's many, many more, okay? But I just wanted to share some of these with you as encouragement, because there's going to be hard days. As a mom, there are tough, tough days where your kids don't appreciate you, your husband doesn't appreciate you, the world doesn't appreciate you, but the Lord sees, and He knows, and He knows what you've been through. And because the Lord has such a high view of motherhood, He even subjected Himself to be mothered. The God of the universe being mothered. It's incredible. Here's what His word says. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's easy to be in love with Jesus. It's easy to be in love with Jesus. Come to Him. Give Him all your cares. Get rid of that burden. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." What a promise. Don't think that you know everything. Just come to the Lord. Just a simple faith. And the Lord says, man, I'm going to give you strength. Strength that's beyond even your own strength. It's going to be health for you. Come to Him. Trust Him with all your heart. Trust, just another word for faith. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's something I saw all the time. My mom prayed without ceasing. She prayed constantly. Those moments where you feel like you're going crazy, you're losing it, you're about to smash something, my mom would go into the room. Sometimes the door would slam, but my mom would go and just get on her knees and pray. And pray to the Lord. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, would come in there and guard her heart and her mind in Christ Jesus. Galatians, we've got two more. Galatians 6, 9 says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." I'm sure my mom grew weary in raising me and my three other brothers. Four boys, my mom got really tired. My mom is a small little thing, and she had a bunch of loud, aggressive boys. And my mom, I'm sure, grew weary. I saw her grow weary. She was tired. But listen, in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. My mom has four boys who are serving the Lord. My youngest brother is a worship pastor. My third brother is in the Marines, loving his wife, taking her to church every week. My other brother is serving at church this morning, my closest brother, and leading men's Bible study. All four of us are serving the Lord with our hearts, and it's because my mom and my dad stuck with it, just kept going. I'm sure they grew weary, but they are reaping what they really desired in their kids, is they really wanted just to see their kids follow the Lord. Last verse, Romans 15, 13. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." There's hope in the Holy Spirit. There's hope in the Lord. There's power available to you to be the mom that you're called to be.